Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Junk Time AFL podcast for November 2017. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is over the moon that Australia won the international rules. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, fuck you, Ireland. How dare they? How dare they come across and
come into our country
and play a game that's sort of ours and sort of theirs. And they, you know what, I mean, sorry, I know I'm stumbling here. I haven't slept.
Uh-huh.
I've been partying hard in Perth.
Like, I saw the footage.
When you win in Perth.
Northbridge went off last night.
Fuck, it just, Perth knows how to party when they win. When they win an international rules series. That town goes off.
Convincingly.
They were prepared for it.
Uh-huh.
Like, they knew. Like, best of two, we went in 1-0 up. It could have gone either way.
Yeah.
It could have been 1-1.
Yeah.
But we buried those fucking pale motherfuckers.
And I've got a feeling they do points differential, is what you call it. So
is that right?
I think we beat them by 10 points the last time. So if they won by 11 points, the title would have been theirs, Adam, but not our brave Aussies.
Fuck, there's a lot riding on it.
Where's their statue, okay? Where's the statue of the halftime mellow?
That Joel Selwood started.
Where's the statue of... Where is the victory parade for legendary Chris Scott?
Well, I think you're getting a bit premature with that. I think the powers that be, the heads of the International Rules Series, I don't know who they are, but they're very powerful people because they brought, they said, two competitions, two completely different games. They said, let's bring them together. That's how powerful.
Yep.
You don't see that happening anywhere else.
No.
You don't see, like, lacrosse and table tennis coming together.
No, you don't. You don't see, like, NFL football, but they've got a baseball bat with them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more for off the field.
Yeah, I would love to see that. So that's how powerful these people are. And I think that, I think just the Australian people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You say that people didn't really celebrate as much as you think, but, you know, every Irish pub in Australia was packed last night.
Really?
They may not have had any fucking idea that there was an international rules game on.
Oh.
You know what disappoints me, though, Michael? It was played in Adelaide. It was played in Perth.
Yeah.
Best of two. It's not enough. I'm saying best of 11.
Okay, going around the country.
I'm saying going around every available... Maybe best of... 49.
Best of 27, yeah. Best of
just 49, get it out there. Like, every available ground we can host either... Because it's a soccer field, essentially.
Yep.
Or rugby field. Mm-hmm. Or AFL, if you want people AFL-X. Miles from the action. Right? Which they've demonstrated they can do really well.
Yep.
So there's a viable... You just put your hand up and go, we'll host one as well. So it could go best of 213.
As many towns that are willing to host it.
Yes.
Therefore, it should be played there. So if you put your hand up, no matter how big or small your town is...
You get a game.
You get a game.
And, you know, that would mean every player... Everyone loves to represent their country. That's all they talk about. Because you get the All-Australian, but all you get is a jacket.
No.
You get a shit jacket. Who gives a fuck?
No, he's got something you can slip on.
Yeah, Gary Ablett's got heaps of jackets at home. They mean nothing to him. But playing in the international rules...
You want something you can sleep in.
Yeah, that's what every young boy...
Little kid.
In the backyard, who's kicking an oval ball.
Kicking the footy with their dad, their mum, their, you know, kid. What are you going to do when you grow up? Yeah. I want to play international rules.
Yeah, I want to play with a round ball. And I want to kick
a round ball.
You know what I want to do? I want to kick an under after the siren.
I want to kick an under after the siren.
That's what every little do, kid. Dad. Yeah, where are those nab
I want to be goalkeeper. I want to be goalkeeper, Dad.
I want to only be able to handball five in a row before I'm forced to kick. Because you can't have six handballs in a row.
I want to tackle someone who actually doesn't really play a game where they actually tackle. I just want to be bona fide rules, Dad.
Yeah. Dad, I'd like to be better than someone who still has a job and does this at night. Because he can't afford to play this as a real sport.
I want to take on someone who has full-time employment, Dad.
You know what they're missing, though? You know what market they haven't tapped into?
Mm-hmm.
China. I mean, you've got Port Adelaide and the Gold Coast going, but you want to get those Chinese people fired up. You
take
bring Australia and Ireland.
I'll tell you what. That'd be millions.
Imagine that in Shanghai.
Why don't we extend our tour then? So if you're in Australia, put your hand up, you get the game.
Mm.
do the same for our Chinese friends. So if they put their hand up, they get a game. How many towns in China? We can have a five-year journey.
Well, you know what? I don't think that every time it happens, every sort of spring that it occurs, it's never ending. So we lead at this point, but then next year you go, Australia's leading 111-1.
Uh-huh.
And so we go into it and go, can Ireland come back? And we build it back up again.
I've got a feeling maybe we should actually cancel the Junk Time AFL podcast and now begin the Junk Time International Rules podcast.
I think it'd be pretty popular because we can tap into the Irish market, the lucrative Irish market that we haven't tapped into yet.
We should do three. We should do the regular AFL season. Uh-huh. We should do an International Rules podcast. Yeah. Looking forward to the next series.
Yeah, I see where this is going.
And then also our AFLX.
Our AFLX podcast is going to be huge because we'll broadcast live from the AFLX because I'm assuming that it's going to be played on the same grounds as our other favourite sport, lingerie football.
Yeah, it's going to be played at Hindmarsh in Adelaide. It's going to be played at Etihad in Melbourne. And then
is it going to be played at Etihad? So Hindmarsh is a soccer field, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And then Etihad can be converted into a soccer field.
Oh, absolutely, but not in a good way.
And then it can be played at Allianz, which is the one next to the
SCG.
SCG, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so talk me through...
So how few people do you think they're going to get at Allianz?
I mean, could this be the chance for Xavier Richards to stand up? Like he said, I don't want to play AFL because Sydney's too expensive, but AFLX...
Sheesh, you know.
He can fucking dominate. Because he's been playing for Sydney University,
uh-huh.
And he's been playing his craft. Like he said, you know, when he's out there, he said, can we take 9 people off the field? Because I want to get used to AFLX. And they're like, no, you fucking can't, mate. You're an idiot.
Do you reckon players would not want to play it, surely?
I can't imagine any team putting out their best
12 players. It's bad enough already if you do a knee during pre-season. But to think that you might lose a player doing AFLX... That would be not ideal, would it?
Oh, again, so you say that, but if you...
So I'm speaking from like what maybe general public might be thinking, not me personally.
No, absolutely. Like, and if you're a player, as a young player, you go, oh, Dad, I'd love to play international rules. He goes, son, forget international rules. It's AFLX.
There's a new game in town.
Yeah. So you're picked. What position do you want to play? You want to go, I want to play centre left back, Dad.
Yeah,
you go, you're there. I want to be a sweeper. You're in.
I want to kick a 10-point super goal, Dad.
Yeah.
From outside 40. It's not really that hard, son. So they're going to play February 15, 16, 18, 17.
Yep.
So we're going to book our flights, man. Six teams are going to be playing each other. I think they're going to play... Are they going to do like a little round robin and then have a winner at the end of the day?
Is that how it's going to...
I think that play might be doing... They're doing 10...
So basically...
Two 10-minute halves.
If you're into the cricket, it's your 2020...
Of football.
Of football. So the thing is, though, so in a round robin with six teams, how many times will you see your side? Three times, I suppose, out of that, if every team plays each other?
Well, wait a second here. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, gotcha. You'd be playing five times then, wouldn't you, if you're playing everybody? No, surely they couldn't be doing that. Surely they're broken up into little groups as well.
Yeah, so, it's three groups of six.
Okay, gotcha.
But 2 10-minute halves.
Or is it six groups of three? So there are... Okay.
Six groups of three. Or is it 9 groups of two?
They're bringing the VFL into it as well.
Yeah, okay.
Either way, it's 7 people on the field.
Oh, 7.
And you... I think you have to be zoned. So I'm looking at a little map here. I think you have to stay in your zone. So 2 at each end.
Well, they're showing how... this is on the AFL website. Herald Sun AFL website. And they've got like the basics. So it's got 7 players on the field. It's a soccer field, essentially.
Yeah.
And clearly... The Herald Sun has no fucking idea how it is to be played.
4 posts at each end, 2 40-metre arcs, 10 players per team, 3 on the bench. No restrictions on rotations.
None.
I think that'll get people in. That will get people in.
No, fuck. How many can you rotate in 10 minutes?
And then we have no marks for backwards kicks, except in the forward 40 area.
Oh, I'm already confused.
Last touch out of bounds, a free kick.
Oh, I love that idea. They've pulled that from international rules because it's such a success in that.
Kick-ins from behind the goal line after all scores. So if you kick a point or a goal, you then kick in.
Oh, there
we go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it's like basketball. You score, you take it from the end line.
That's a good point, yeah. And at least...
Jeez, it's a hybrid, isn't it?
There we go. 2 players have to be in the forward arc at all times. And then free shot from forward 40 arc. From directly in front for deliberate rush behinds. Okay, they give you a rush behind, then you get a free kick from 40.
And you can't be out LBW twice in a row.
A handball. They did have brought back the flick pass as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Here we go. The groups are divided into two pools of three. So six teams are going to be playing
six
on that day.
Three. No, three pools of six here.
I know, but then divided in again. So they've got six teams. Okay, look at me, Adam.
Oh, okay.
Six teams.
Fuck, it's confusing. The
and then they're going to divide those six into two groups of three.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. And they'll play each other. So your team will play twice.
Oh, okay. So you get to see your team for 40 minutes.
You get to see players 35 to 42 run around.
And the rookies.
Run around twice for 20 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd go. Maybe I will go because I moved to Sydney a bit ago. So that will actually, I'll be a bit starved for a whole bunch of football.
So there's no centre bounces at all. So how does the game start? Or does it just never...
Is it maybe like a bit soccerish? Toss a coin and then kind of
one team
go
gets
from
it, like
there.
Netball. Yeah. One team starts first half. One team starts. That's amazing.
So. Or is it a quick little jump ball?
No, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's. I would walk away if it was jump ball. I'm a fan of just toss the coin, and one team gets it. I think it's safer for everybody. Mm. I don't want to see your backup ruckman doing his knee.
And should we get on to the bounce?
Why?
Big news about the bounce, mate.
Well, what are your thoughts on the bounce? So we'll move on from AFLX. I mean, it's too complicated
for us. A
lot
of times we can talk about AFLX in the future. Okay?
It's probably too complicated to nut out in a 3-hour show. Yeah. So we need more time. We'll probably do a live show on it. Junk Time fans, just prepare yourselves. It's going to be at a whim.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge. It's going to be AFLX Live, and we'll talk to some of the superstars of the game.
Some of the legends of AFLX.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good show.
The bounce. So, do we need it? Should we still have it? Razor Ray, all involved. Razor Ray was talking during the week. Was that today, Adam?
Well, no, it was during the week. He stepped up his campaign to scrap the bounce. So Razor Ray, he's a leading umpire, isn't he?
He'd be the face of umpiring, yeah. There aren't too many others who know. Now, Razor Ray has been in a few grand finals, but it's not like he has a monopoly on it. He's not doing it every week.
No.
Every year.
No.
But he would be the face of the umpire by the fact he would be the only umpire who has the nickname, I reckon, Razor Ray.
Oh, there's cunt face.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck McGee. Fuck knuckle in green.
Yep. Dog. and he was saying that they have a bit of anxiety about.
Yeah, well, he's described the bounce as his own kryptonite.
Yeah,
so he's compared himself to Superman.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
He said he's thrown his colleagues under the bus. He said colleagues were forced to medicate anxiety due to the pressure of bouncing the ball during matches.
Mm.
So he's going, he's okay. But, geez, some of the fucking flaky motherfuckers.
Snowflakes over there.
Yeah, they can't handle it. They're all, like, before the game just going, oh, Razor, can you bounce it first? It's like, you know, facing the opening ball in the Ashes. You're like, I don't want to do it.
Oh, you don't want to go to the first ball,
David Warner, you take it. He thinks he's David Warner.
That pressure, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to pull a Harmison, do you?
No.
Go to, third sleeve. I reckon they're going to get rid of it. And maybe not this year, but they will get rid of it. Or they're going to do it at the start of a quarter. So you only have to bounce it like about four times.
Well, then the AFL came out this week and said that maybe they'll keep the bounce, but they won't do the recall. So if it's a shocker of a bounce, just play on.
Yeah, see, I reckon that's bullshit because I reckon that's an unfair advantage then.
Well,
I know it's the nature of the game. It's an oval ball. You can't do anything.
Ask Stephen Milne about that.
It's one of the wonders of the game.
Yeah, it is.
Unpredictable.
Yeah. And that's why I hate international rules. It's so predictable.
But I don't like the idea that, one ruckman will get a, 20-metre advantage.
Oh, you know what the argument will be
there. It comes straight down their throat.
You know what the argument will be. What if it changes the fortunes in a grand final?
In a grand final,
absolutely. What if it if they bounce it really badly and it rolls all the way to full forward?
Go through for a point.
Yeah, and that costs you the game.
And it's golden point because it's extra time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good bounce, but the wind just takes it and rolls it all the way through.
So I reckon they are going to get rid of it. But he also talks about injuries now too. Umpires talking about their shoulders getting hurt and the like. Now, back in the day, there would have been one umpire who would have been bouncing it around the field all the time.
On a wet ground?
Yeah.
I've never seen...
They've never complained.
Like, was Harry Beitzel, he was an ex-umpire and then became a commentator. I don't remember him, like them having to strap the microphone to his head because he couldn't use his shoulders, his arms.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there are a lot of umpires getting around who, a lot of people would know ex-umpires or maybe... It's not like you can spot them. You know, you get a guy going, can you lift that up for me? He's like, I can't.
Yeah, it's hardly like they're John McCain, can't lift their arms above their shoulders. You know, need someone to put their coat on for them.
Yeah, that sort of thing. It's not, I didn't realise, maybe it is, Michael. Maybe there's like an old umpire's home.
Yep, gotcha.
And there's just nurses going around having
feeding
to do
them
things.
Spoons, yeah,
dude, they go, oh, I've got an itchy nose. They're like, oh, come here, scratch their face. They can't do anything above their heads, the poor fuckers.
Yeah, poor dudes. So I reckon, what do you reckon though? Are they going to keep it?
Oh, I think keep it and just medicate the umpires. You know what? If they heavily medicated the umpires, because you know how people say umpires influence a game, they're influenced by the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in Adelaide, you go, oh, Adelaide got a lot more free kicks.
We want to take that out of the game, don't we?
Yeah. A free kick Hawthorn, all that sort of bullshit. Free kick Joel Selwood, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got an umpire that is so
comatose,
Valium to the eyeballs, right? And you just hear like a bit of a gentle whistle because he hasn't got the strength to do a full whistle. He's just like... And like, what happened? He's like, oh, dudes, that was a little bit high, probably. You know, you guys, you gotta fucking take it easy, mate. And they're like, he fucking pushed me to the game, mate. Come on. They go, you've got a bit of saliva. You've got a bit of saliva coming out of your mouth, Razor.
Like John Howard in the club watching the seagull flying by. Hey guys, look at that.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
So I think three chilled out umpires. Mm-hmm. Would be great for a grand final. They're not influenced by anything around them. Things are just taking a little bit of a slower pace. You know, you bring the ball back from a goal.
Take 35 minutes.
Yeah, they gently bring the ball back. Everyone recovers. The crowd's got time to go out for a beer. Go, just kick the goal. I'm just going to nick home. Because by the time they get it back down, I kind of like it.
Works
I think medicate everyone.
Yep.
You know, like goal umpires, they're getting a bit too full of themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if you just had a gentle, you know, call for the replay, just gently.
Boundary umpires work too hard.
Yeah, absolutely they do.
Get something in them.
Yeah.
Something in a drink bottle. Now, Adam, we have a very special guest coming up shortly. Craig Coombs, former AFL recruiter. The annual tradition of having you on to talk about the draft coming up this weekend.
I'm looking forward to that, actually. They've got the draft this weekend, and it was a huge trade period, so I think Coombs is going to have a bit to say on that.
Yes. But why don't we do a bit of footballers in real life?
I would love that. Can I kick off? I never kick off football in real life. It's always your thing, and I don't like that. You know what, Michael? I slept with an AFL footballer.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Well, I say slept next to.
On a plane or something?
On a plane back from LA back to Melbourne, because I was recently over in the United States of America. And so I was sitting on the flight, and I can't even remember. I just started talking to this guy next to me, and I'd sort of worked out. I'd seen some North Melbourne players with backpacks on.
Ah, yep.
And I was like, all right, there must be a few North players on my flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting next to, and I think he might be a third-year player, perhaps second, Ryan Clark, young player for the Kangaroos. Now, the first two fourth-year players for the Kangaroos had been in Utah.
Oh, yeah, doing a bit of altitude
training.
Yep. Yeah. So were they wearing North Melbourne... I was about to say costumes.
No, they didn't have the costumes had
North Melbourne backpacks. Is that how you noticed?
That's the only thing I could tell, that they were North players. So I just had a quick sort of...
Getting a lot of attention at LAX?
Absolutely fucking not. It was North Melbourne. No one knew who they were.
Getting a lot of attention at Arden Street?
and it was weird because I was in the Qantas lounge before we flew. Didn't see any of them in there.
Uh-huh.
So it was like they must have just been hanging out like peasants.
Yeah, sure.
Out in the public area.
Ugh. How do they live with themselves?
And this is how well North are going. You're an AFL player. You go, you know what? We may not fly business. We're not a high-ranking club. You go, we may not even be premium economy, Michael. But you accept that. But if you're an AFL player, where don't you want to sit? If you're on a plane, you're flying, it's the A380, it's a big flight, there's a couple hundred people on it.
In the middle.
You don't want a middle seat.
Yeah.
You're an AFL player. You don't get middle seat.
No.
You get window. Maybe you get aisle if you want.
I think you'd want aisle just to be able to stretch your legs out a little bit because they'd be taller than your average man.
Well, I guess so. He wasn't super taller, but he's maybe a couple of inches. So maybe he was like 6'2", something like that.
Okay.
Anyway, he's in the middle.
The story's dragging.
He's sitting in the middle. And you go, you poor fucker. Uh-huh. You're on an AFL list. You're in the chump seat. So anyway, I was chatting to him and I was saying, oh, you know, you must have a couple, the club must give you a couple of sleepers so you can just fucking knock yourself out. You're sitting in the middle seat. You're a fucking loser.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, you know, they give us a few. So he basically, as soon as the plane started taxiing, he had downed a couple, had the eye patches on, the headphones in, and then just fucking knocked himself out. Didn't want to chat to Rosie.
For the whole trip?
Well, it was really weird. Like, he said to me he'd taken the sleepers. He'd lay down to sleep. Then they brought the food round. Then he ate. Then he put them back on. And then I fucking knocked myself out. 9 hours later, I was awake. So it was it's a good story, huh?
What were you taking?
Mate, I've got my own. I'm friends with certain people who may have assisted Essendon in their great years. So I slept from LA to Melbourne, and then from Melbourne for the next 3 days, I was asleep.
I have football in real life as well. It's a bit one out of the box, I reckon.
Really?
The locale was unique, okay. Unexpected.
Current footballer.
So I was lining up at the ABC. So I've moved to Sydney, so I'm working at the ABC in Ultimo. Uh-huh. And I was lining up to watch a taping of Gruen.
Oh.
So that's on the ground floor in the foyer there. Rather large building. I think the main building is about seven stories, I think.
Okay.
Large building. So I saw Stan Grant. I shared a lift with Lee Sales.
Mate, you are living the dream.
Yeah. And I saw a guy wander through, a bit taller than your average Joe as well.
So they're obviously Will Anderson fan. They're going to see the Gruen transfer.
Well, this guy wasn't going in to watch the show. He was kind of just wandering around the building because I didn't spot him up on the first level.
Right.
Tom Liberatore.
In Sydney?
Yeah. And then my first thought was like, that's weird. He shouldn't be in Sydney because he got a game on the weekend. Yeah. I was like, oh, of course, it's off-season, yeah.
No, but also maybe the Hanoi Swans are about to run around.
But I was trying to work out what he'd been doing in the building. Now, you can't just wander in. You have to go to security and get passes to, you know, that kind of stuff. They don't let you in.
What if you're a premiership player?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe he showed the medal. And the guy was like, Sydney, mate. Oh, and against the Swans. And get out of here. So I'm not really sure what he was doing. I'm trying to think.
ABC
did
Grant's
he go to perhaps? Do an interview or something? Yeah, maybe did a radio thing or something. I don't know. But
did you say g'day?
No. He kind of bumped a guy too, actually. Guy was a bit kind of annoyed by that. But he was in work 8 gear. Yeah, and so he wanted by, and I was like...
We've got to keep fit just because you're not in the Whitten and Oval.
I'm pretty certain that's Tom Liberatore. And then he went upstairs to like a library on the first level and also...
Well, he's not there for the library.
And then there's like rehearsal rooms.
Okay.
But then I lost him. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I had quite a few footballers in real life. I went and saw the... I don't think we've talked about this on the potty. The Western Bulldogs documentary, Outsiders, which was made by a friend of ours.
Oh, yeah, Adrian Brown.
So this was following... Initially, it was following Bob Murphy in the 2015 season. Mm. And then he followed the whole team in 2016 as they went on to win the flag. If you haven't seen it, as a football fan, it's fantastic. As a Doggies fan, it would be fucking magic.
Really?
It is a really great documentary. I'm not sure it was showing at the Sun Cinema in Yarraville up until a few weeks ago. I'm not sure if it's still on, but if you haven't seen it and... Just as a football fan, it's fantastic. As a Doggies fan, it's fucking next level.
And surely it'd be available on DVD.
Yes, absolutely it would be. And I knew how it was all going to play out. I needed to go for a piss before Rob Murphy did his knee, and I just couldn't leave. Like, it was so exciting and so much fun to watch.
What, watching him do his knee?
No, just how much he's drawn into it.
Yeah,
gotcha. No, I was the only one cheering. But there were a lot of Doggies players who were there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Many footballers in real life. Here we go from Matt. We have coming out of my work building Thursday afternoon. So it's like September 21, so it's a while ago.
Oh, okay. Pre-grand final.
Coming out of my work building Thursday afternoon when I spotted the man himself, Ross Lyon. Oh, wait a second. Have I read this one before?
I think you have.
Okay, I'll
go
to this one.
We're very professional on this show.
Here we go, from Robren. Okay, here we go. This is post-grand final. So, football in real life. On the weekend, my wife and I made the world's worst football pilgrimage from Adelaide to watch the Crows be pathetic through three quarters against a team that some people in Melbourne appear to have some passion for.
Okay, it's good that he thinks that they did well in the first quarter.
In the morning, we went to the restaurant Simply Spanish down at Queen Vic Market for some breakfast. I was staring at this woman who I thought I knew from Adelaide for probably too long as the table next to ours was cleared out. And just as I convinced myself that it wasn't her, the husband shot me a look, and to my surprise, the husband is none other than Josh Kennedy from the Eagles. He was
I know what he's looking at.
He was out for breakfast Josh Kennedy from the Eagles.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
not Josh Kennedy from Sydney. He was out for breakfast in a stylish blue suit with a white collared shirt with presumably his wife and daughter. Uh-huh. Maybe he was also staying in the city's worst hotel the opposite end of the city from the G. I seemed agitated and in a hurry to get out of there. They sat at the table next to us and ordered two skim lattes, lovely details right here, and baby Chino. He ordered the clay pot eggs, two poached eggs and some tomato crap. She ordered the gypsy eggs with spinach on the side. My selection of toast, hummus, smashed avo, and poached eggs with a ducker?
Oh, yeah.
What's a dukkah?
Dukkah is like spices.
Ah,
Turkish,
there we go.
Spices. Middle Eastern.
I hope this small child ate earlier in the morning. Interestingly, the meal came. He said he had the eggs and the clay pot was for his wife. Maybe he saw my breakfast and changed his mind. He was on and off the phone. Lovely details here. He was on and off the phone after being somewhere else as he sat 30 centimetres from me while I tried to explain key JJK stats to my wife and answer the nuanced question, which Josh Kennedy is better, without him thinking we were stalkers. He smashed the eggs before the sprinkles were off the baby chino. Then he had a couple of bites of the tomato broth of his wife's plate. The waiter offered a second latte, which he declined before kissing his wife and daughter goodbye, asking if she needed some money, and ran out the door to find her struggling to eat her tomato rubbish. We couldn't pick up where he was off to, but after stopping for a beer on the way to the ground, we saw him up on the screen next to Chief and Spud trying to do the kick over the Yarra. From what I saw, he put on a fairly lame effort, but maybe he should have had that second latte.
Well, there you go. That is not... So they were doing the longest kick competition, which is a Fox yep. footy thing, on grand final morning. That is clearly not the breakfast of someone who wants to win that competition. Because Fev won that.
He did in the end.
Do you think Fev's eating that kind of stuff?
Fev had not gone to bed that night before.
Exactly. Fev trained properly.
Here we go. I've got a few from Adrian, actually. Adrian just bought some lovely snapper at South Melbourne Market and spotted David King. He was wearing some shorts and a singlet, looked like he'd been for some exercise. He bought a lot of fish, some salmon fillets and some snapper, probably to do experiments in the lab. That's nice.
You know, the pressure factor on snapper is enormous. It gets up to like 190.
That one. Another one from Adrian. Get it up.
See, the more you get from one person, the more it seems like stalking in real life.
Well, actually, there's a couple of pictures of Ricky Nixon, so that was kind of stalking, that one. Here we go. At a cafe in Albert Park across the road from the AFLPA office, Bulldog great Chris Grant, having a coffee with a mate, just chatting and looking very relaxed. And then, minutes later...
Do you reckon Chris Grant's used the 20 cents from that supporter? Or is it in a frame at home? Go, this is the 20 cents that saved the club.
Yeah. That kid'd be like 30 now, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Another one from Adrian a few minutes later. Oh, fuck. And at the same time, on the other side of the cafe, Dr. Peter Larkin. He's very well dressed, having a late business lunch. Good to see Lark's out and about.
Oh, he'd always be sharp, wouldn't he? Be ready to go on the boundary.
Yep. And here we go from Adrian again. In the CBD, Little Collins Street, just after lunch, a shock of blonde hair comes into view. Yes, it's Isaac Heaney. He looked a bit lost, actually. He clocked that I and my mates had spotted him and pretended to get on his phone while he passed. He was wearing a T-shirt and shorts and some sneakers. Probably confused by the sunshine. He'll be cold later today. As one of my mates said, what's Heaney doing in Melbourne, eh?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
It is interesting. I mean, like the liberatory thing, it is weird when you kind of see them out of context.
Yeah.
You go, wait a second, you're not meant to be in this town.
Yeah.
Wait a second, you're allowed to have a life.
No, they're not allowed to have a life at all.
I think we'll wrap it up there. We are Junk Time AFLPod on Gmail, Facebook and Twitter. Anything to plug?
No, there's nothing really.
Stubby holders?
I mean, you can get the stubby holders. That's junktime.bigcartel.com. And also, you know who didn't? We didn't get any footballers in real life, and I'm disappointed by this. None of our fans, none of our people saw Jamie Elliott pissing in a bin after Derby Day.
Did you, by the way, you went to America, so did you try and track down Job in New York?
You know what? I was close to Job, because I ran into Job at the front bar after party.
Yeah.
And he told me the address of his cafe.
Yeah.
But when you're in New York, so I was down, it's in like the financial district. I was down in that area, but I'd gone for a jog. And you know how massive New York is? It's not like, oh, it's in Fitzroy, so you go, oh, it's a couple of streets over. It's like 10 blocks away. And I was like, fuck you, Job. I'm not going to your cafe.
Okay, gotcha.
So I didn't go.
Well, you're not really a team player then, are you?
Did you go when you were in New York?
I tried many times to go. I didn't get into it, but I went to the right place twice.
But it was
shut. I've told you this.
I was in the area.
Yeah, I went to the right place twice, but it was in a building, and so you needed a pass to get in. It was weekend, so you couldn't get in.
I nearly caught up with Max Gawn.
What do you mean, nearly?
Well, I was out with Triple M boundary rider Sarah Faul, who did the boundary for Triple M commentary, and she lives in Brooklyn now, and I was hanging out with her, and she was in a text conversation with Max Gawn, and we were trying to catch up with him one night.
But gotcha.
He was over in Chelsea, we were in Brooklyn, too far away.
Lost a bit of weight, Maxi Gawn.
Yeah,
fighting fit. He's flying. Who would have thought someone in a preseason would be flying?
Is it his best preseason ever?
Yeah.
I think he's too skinny. He's a ruckman. You need to be...
Well, he didn't have much to lose in the first place.
And he's pretty... you need your bulk.
He's pretty lean in the first place, yeah.
No, I think it's going to be a shocking season for him.
Okay, we're going to head off. We're going to drop in as many times as we can, as logistically as we can.
We can do it, mate. We can do it.
Yeah, but I suppose book your tickets for AFLX. Get involved. Go Australia. And Craig Coombs is coming up right now. Adam, we got a very special guest.
Well, it's been an amazing couple of months.
Returning to Drunk Time at Wayne Jackson Studios.
Yeah.
For the third or fourth time, I believe so. It's one of our favourite episodes of the year, and also gets a lot of talk from the listeners of Drunk Time.
It is our third, isn't it? Yeah.
We've got a very special guest, Craig Coombs, former recruiter for Port Adelaide, former spy for Hawthorn. He gives us the lowdown on his insight on the season, the trade period, and the upcoming draft on Friday.
Yes.
Friday the 24th, I believe it is.
Yes. It's in Sydney, isn't it? And it's on Fox Footy if you want to watch it, because it's... Oh, it's a fun night. It's a fun night. It's good TV.
I do.
You do? No, I know you do. You love it. Mate, don't worry. Chambo and I will be watching it, because we don't have lives.
So, Craig, let's go. Let's begin with the Richmond victory. Did you foresee that at any stage at the start of the year?
Yes.
Really?
I'll tell you why. On the 23rd of December, my poor old dad was a bit ill, and it was on his last legs with cancer, and me and a few mates, I was in there every day, but a few mates were in there, and the old boy, he looked at one of my mates and said, Peter B, who's a big Tiger fan, he said, put your money on Richmond-Sydney Grand Final, mate. I can see it happening. And I remember Pete sort of saying, you're chocked up on drugs, dude. But and you're just about on your last legs. And Dad just went, yeah, but I know I'm right. And we went, fair enough. And Pete ran out and put money on Richmond to make the Grand Final.
What were they paying at that stage?
$26 just to make it.
Fuck.
And so he ran out and just put a little bit on that. And then at the funeral, at Dad's funeral, Pete was speaking, he pulled the ticket out and shown everyone, and he said, we knew Ernie was, you know, on the way out, and who's he kidding? Sydney won't make the grand final, but the mighty Tigers will. Well, I had three guys at their funeral run out and back Richmond at 100-1 to win, because they were like, no, your dad. I'm going, he was... Seriously, if Dad's right on this, believe in that, because I don't. And I do now.
Amazing.
He got That's awesome. So what were they pocketed? Maybe pocketed a few grand each?
Yeah, they were very happy lads. Three of them had done it. Pete was spilling because he only went the 26-1.
Yep.
And then I didn't do it, because throughout the year I just sort of thought, yeah. And as the year sort of rolled, I started thinking, I'll tell you what, they might be a chance with this list, just because they were doing something different other clubs were not used to, and they were making other teams change the way they selected their side. And when you do that, you know you've got the upper hand.
Okay, yes. So when you say they were doing stuff that make other clubs change, what were they doing?
The small forwards, simply in the pressure acts.
Yep.
Because you couldn't then go in with my what's the old standard back line? Three talls, two mediums and a small. Well, too slow against Richmond. And then the plans just worked, and I think it was probably maybe June. I talk to Pete all the time, and he said, you know what, I reckon we're right. And he tried to do a forecast of the ladder, said, I think they're going to finish third. If they do, holy cow, and he nailed it big time. We just thought, yeah, I'll tell you what, week in, week out. And they made two significant changes, getting Broad into the team.
That worked out well for him.
It worked out, worked out very well for him and for... probably most of us. And because
he's talking about never seen
his decision making was something they needed. Whilst not a superstar, he's pretty calm under pressure, even when he played waffle. And bring in Tomlinson, who I think Dermot Burton described as the toughest bloke he's ever seen play the game.
No way.
When he was a GWS, I've never seen a bloke harder than Tomlinson.
Wow.
Tomlinson? That's not Tomlinson. What's his name? You know, the bloke who came in late kicked all those guys.
Not Graham.
No. And by the way, you know, last year when we done this, I reckon we had Graham in the top 20, and he went at 54. You know, he's played more finals than regular season games, kicked three goals and won a medal.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So we're claiming that, and McGrath, we tipped obviously go one, and where other.
We claim everything, man.
So we claim that. So Jack Graham is actually Junk Time AFL's Jack Graham.
Absolutely, and that's how he was presented at the grand final with his medal.
He did thank you, didn't he?
When you're in clubland and say you're an opposition team, and you saw what Richmond did this year, and you go, that seems to be the new way. One tall forward and surrounded by quicks. How much do they plan on changing their own development and the way that they recruit from that? Do they go, Richmond is the way, or do they just go hedge their bets and go, we'll get a couple of quick small forwards, but we still think there'll be two tall forwards at some point?
Correct. They won't hit the panic button on that. They'll go, okay, it's a one-off. I mean, no one did with the Bulldogs, did they? Didn't follow their lead.
Yep.
They won't.
Not missing the finals.
Richmond, yeah, but Richmond will change what they do. They can't do the same formula because they'll be thinking everyone's sweating on us.
Yep.
And the coaches are too smart to figure out ways to beat it. So they've got summer to figure out how to beat it. Richmond will probably add an extra tall, and they might go two. But they have to. I mean, if Griffiths or Hampson sort of held up, they probably wouldn't have gone that way.
Yeah, yeah, it was probably a necessity.
That's all it was, I reckon, to start with. And then they started thinking, hang on, this
ball doesn't leave our forward line now.
Yeah, the pressure acts are incredible. I mean, obviously, the Hawthorn situation where, you know, Pup and Puopolo, Rioli and all those guys, the pressure worked for them.
Yep.
So they then sort of thought, we're probably going to be stuck with these guys. Let's figure something out. I don't know who was behind it, Richmond, but well done.
And so going into the actual game itself, what are you thinking? Are you thinking Richmond or Adelaide?
No, I thought Richmond. I just thought that pressure at the small forwards. I thought Adelaide's ball distributor and calm sort of defender was Smith.
And they lost him.
As soon as they lost him, I thought, that's going to mess him up.
Yeah.
Because he's the one. I thought, what Richmond will probably do is make sure they chuck all their resources into Laird.
Mm-hmm.
Put him under pressure. And like a quarter time, I was at home with a mate of mine, a big Carlton fan. And I said to him, welcome to Adelaide, Bryce Gibbs. And he went, whoa. I said, they're going to get cut up by Richmond here and they will then think we need him. And I was very happy at halftime.
So the loss played into Carlton's hands in terms of getting rid of Gibbs. Like, they knew that they were going to have to pay, you know, once they got rid of Lever, they got the two big picks for him, they were always going to get Gibbs.
Surely you knew that too.
Well, yeah, you kind of thought it, but Adelaide loss was like, yeah, Gibbs is gone.
Yeah, it's exactly what I said to mate. Adelaide lost, Gibbs is gone. They win the grand final. No, you'll keep him because they won their flag and they'll be right.
Yeah.
But now they'll be forced into it, and it was just too obvious it was going to happen.
And is Gibbs a good pickup for the Crows?
How many more years do you reckon you get out of him? I mean, he's not old. He's only about 28 or so, isn't he?
20, I reckon 29. At least 5 or 6. He's very durable. He's hardly missed a game.
No, like, he tore a
pec muscle a few years ago, but aside from that, he's played most games.
He'll be all right. He'll be handy. I just think Lever's going to be a huge loss. And Charlie Cameron. I mean, because he was that speed and that X factor they had. Going to miss it. And looking at their list...
So there's not a lot coming through?
I've done some stats on the list here with 1-4 year players and where they're at.
Yeah.
In regards to the young players coming through, how many guys they've played and everything. And it's so obvious that teams at the top have neglected that bottom bit because while they're winning.
Yep.
Now you look at the Crows numbers and you go, uh-oh.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Real drop-off.
So what do you think it is? Like, you've been in Port Adelaide, you've worked for Port Adelaide. What's the go? Why are so many players leaving Adelaide, the Crows?
It's Adelaide.
But Port seem to be able to not only hold players, but they drew a lot of players there this year. And, you know,
again, the numbers that I've done with Port absolutely scream uh-oh on their bottom end. So they therefore looked at their list and went, we've hardly got any games into these kids that we've picked up.
So Port have gone, we need a flag in the next 2 years or else we're fucked.
Yeah, as I said, I've done these numbers.
Yeah, go through.
And I've got Port Adelaide with what I've come up with a two, and I've looked at their 1-4 year players.
Yep.
How many of those guys have played 15 plus games that are in the best 22?
Yep.
How many have played under 15 games that are in the best 22? You put a formula, so there's a differential, and then how many are on that list? So if we look at Adelaide, there were 14 guys 1-4 on their list.
Yep.
Only three of those guys have played 15 plus games, and three of them are in their best 22.
And who's that?
Yeah, one was Lever, and see ya, and one was Charlie Graham. See ya. Out of their bottom...
So that was Charlie Cameron and Lever, and they were the two of the best
youngest players. Two out of the three, in the 1-4 year players that have played 15, and it left them with only one player in that bottom age, which I had was Alex Keith,
who
come through to make their 22. So they get a number, a differential of the... numbers on the list.
Was he potentially a cricketer?
Yeah, he was a dude.
Because they may have mentioned that on the coverage occasion that he played cricket.
And that put Adelaide where I came up with a number of three, the higher the better. And if you're interesting, look around the teams with the lower numbers. Adelaide finished first last year. GWS. Port.
So hang on, GWS, first to four-year players, they didn't have a lot over 15 games.
GWS have 12 players that have in that 1-4 bracket.
Yep.
two of them have played plus 15.
Is that right? That astounds me. But yeah. I guess when you
they've
start to look
picking
at...
They've been picking off guys out of that list, though, other clubs, because they're thinking, I'm not getting a game, I'm going.
Yeah.
They've got two. They've got two. And of the under who haven't played 15 games, none of them are their best 22. So then you flip to that...
That's really surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's interesting that the teams like Adelaide, GWS, yep. Port and West Coast all made the finals,
yep.
are all down to that low number because they thought now is our time.
Yeah.
Now, of all those teams, Port Adelaide, they hit panic mode because they look at the list and think, we've got 14 guys in that area. We had two of them that have played 15 games.
Wow.
And only one is in their best 15. So they look and go, we've not got games into their bottom age.
Yeah.
If we promote those seven, because we've lost seven, what's going to happen? They'll get belted and they can't do that in Adelaide. So they've gone, we need to go and recruit. Now, yeah. whether they did it on purpose the year before and held some cash and yeah. thought, you know what, this 2017 draft isn't... You know,
super strong.
...isn't massive. We've already got young kids. We can't inject another four. I remember 2003, Choco going, yeah, we're not going to go to the draft. And I remember Pelksen going, it's an AFL rule. He said, well, I don't want to go. I don't want to change the list. And he said, why should I change my list? I'm very happy with the 42 we got or whatever it was. No, I don't want to do it. I said, Choco, you have to have three picks. He said, well, that's wrong. What, you can't force me to do that. And I think we delisted Jared Schofield and they took him back and yeah. then... a couple of guys and Chuck was like, no,
I'm happy.
Well, I've done well. I've done well. We're going, I think we put the team together, sir.
Yeah.
We've done well. And I think Port have looked at it and gone, we can't bottom out here. We've got too many of these guys we haven't tried. I looked at a couple of the names and I thought, huh? Who are you? I didn't know a couple of the names on the Port list. I felt like, what?
So they've just been running around Sandford for a couple of seasons.
And doing naught, and that's an absolute mess, that league. You know what's going on there. It's just the most horrendous and hideous competition.
Oh, why don't you go into that then? What's going on
with Sandford? You know, Port Magpies, the feeder team for the AFL.
Yep. Yeah.
But I think the guy's name was Steve Summerton, who was captain of the Magpies, who played 497,000 games in a row, whatever.
It's not bad.
It was good effort. Yeah. All the other Port blokes are fit. The rules are Port Power guys get preference. He had to play resis, and he was captain.
Okay, yep.
That's a really good idea.
So you get forced out, yeah.
And you know where the Crows, you know, they've got their feeder team. Do you know where their home ground is? The Crows Sandford team?
Who is their Sandford team?
The Crows. They're called the Crows.
Okay, but...
So they're Adelaide Crows players.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are they playing in Sandford?
Yeah.
I have not noticed that.
No.
There you go. That's how good the Sandford is for us at the moment. Yeah. Do you know where they play their home games at?
No. Let's say Football Park.
Nope.
Norwood Oval.
No.
They
don't.
Adelaide Showgrounds.
They play 22 away games.
Oh, do they really?
Yep.
Fucking hell.
That's part of the deal. So that's really good.
It's got to get in your head.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you never get to
so
wear the
cold showers every week.
You're always in the white shorts.
That's part of the deal. How good's that? 22 away games. Oh, and by the way, they had that thing with the 23-year-old kids, 23 and under, that the Crows and Port could list certain guys, right, off other clubs.
Uh-huh.
And then call them in. So Michael Chamberlain, obviously you're 23, playing for Norwood,
yeah,
against Port. The following week, the Crows call you into their list, and you're playing against Norwood. So you could be playing against your mates.
Oh, really? Just get thrown
what
around.
A stupid thing.
That's ridiculous.
That's what they'd done the year before. So they stopped that,
yep.
And then they went, right, how are we going to make it a bit fairer? All right, you can play 22 away games. And it's screaming out, welcome to the VFL, Port Adelaide and the Crows.
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
A couple of years, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, you really think they'll shift over? They have to?
Well, they've got rid of the development league here.
Yeah. Well, I guess they just need reserves teams, don't they?
So why are they doing that?
Yeah.
Because the structure is going to be AFL, AFLD, which will be the VFL development, and AFLW for women. They have a three-tier competition.
I think you're forgetting AFLX, my friend.
No. I was just driving up here and I stopped at the corner. And I was waiting at the lights and I looked and I saw a juggler and I thought, that is the most stupid thing I've seen and heard of, out in the traffic juggling in his flipping hood.
People juggling and then trying to collect coins?
Yeah.
Is that thing?
It's the most stupid thing I've heard of since AFLX.
Yeah.
That was my thought. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah,
not a fan.
You can't run over people in AFLX, but fuck, you can take out a juggler. Jeez.
Why are you thinking it's stupid? What's going on? Do you reckon it's just a waste of time? People don't want to do it?
With
The AFLX.
Oh, Fairman juggling.
Fair dinkum. Why don't they just get that Gaelic game and make a competition out of that, the hybrid sort of thing maybe?
Yep.
Do that instead. I mean, fair dinkum. The AFL are just trying to grab some screen time somewhere, I reckon, and make, what are we going
to
do?
Oh, so it's like a 12-month round to a game.
It's just crazy.
Now, can we go back to your differential with the young players? Yep. I am going to tip that Carlton is very high up on your...
They've done well.
Your list, yes.
Yes, they have, because they have 17 guys on that list.
In the first of 4 years. Geez, we've cleaned out a lot. We've cleaned out like 45, 46 players.
That's enormous.
Three years.
But they've stuck to the process, the Bolton process. They've got 9 guys that have played over 15 games. That's not bad.
Yep.
And out of those 9, I had 6 in the best 15. Best 22.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good because it's guys like Marchbank, Wiedering,
Kerno,
those other dudes. And I've still got a couple more coming in. I think I had Mackay coming in. I reckon he'll be all right.
Yeah.
And I had someone else, can't remember. So, therefore, with the Blues, they sit at 9 out of 10 compared with me because the list profile, young age, which is what you need coming through together. So they play together. Hawthorn done it 3 or 4 years ago with this group with Ruffy and all those guys.
Yeah.
Gone 3 flags. Won't get the flags, 3 flags. No one will meet the Hawks.
So who is high up on your list just for other teams to hear? Is Essendon sitting up there or they're kind of mid-range?
Oh, Rosie. Well played, sir. Right in the middle, Essendon.
Yeah.
And it's not surprising that there's probably 5 teams all sitting in the middle.
Yeah, okay.
They're just about, we're not sure where we are.
Yeah.
And no, they're not. Collingwood, Essendon, Gold Coast. Now, which they should be further up than that.
Yeah.
St Kilda and the Swans. All teams where you're sitting going right in the middle. Swans always stay in the middle. They never bottom out.
Yeah.
They never go right through. They've got, Alir. I was going to call him Stutter then, but...
Yep.
Alir, Melican, Haywood guys they keep finding that are like, who are you? What?
Yeah.
So they didn't
play this year.
No.
He was in the resis.
But then also would you be staying when you say like Crows and Giants are down the bottom with these four-year players?
That's right.
By that logic though, would it be more likely that really good teams don't have so many of those one-four-year players?
Yeah, because they're not playing them because they've got that experience group
they've
brought through in the previous list.
Yeah.
Which then means now they have to look at their list profile and go, where do we go? What do we do?
Yep.
That's why Port has gone, we have to top up now. We can't bottom out in Adelaide. You just can't do it with the competitiveness where the Crows were. So, makes sense. GWS, well, all their concessions are finished now.
Yeah.
And everyone's been picking off their good guys. So they, will they add any... They'll probably go back to youth.
Were they a disappointment probably. This year? I know they made a prelim, but
crazy.
Do you think the kind of people, they should have swept it all?
Team of stars, not a star team, mate. They play for themselves. It's so obvious. The list guys, you're thinking, you're not playing for this footy team, you're just playing for yourself. So they now, I bet they'll go back to the draft. Port Adelaide
is
on the other way.
Here in a team that's 5 years old, they've got to go back to the draft.
They have to. And Gold Coast is sitting in the middle. They've got a little bit better because they've done it last year through the draft.
Yep.
So they picked up that Ainsworth and Brodie and those. So they'll bring them through. Melbourne are clearly in front of anyone. I mean, they had 20 guys in that 1 to 4 year bracket, and 10 of them have played 15 plus games already.
That's amazing.
8 of them were in the best 22. When you're looking at guys, Ginger fella,
Clayton Oliver.
Him.
Yeah.
Then you've got the
Petrarca.
Brayshaw. All of those kids, and now you add Lever to the mix, fair dinkum. So I've got them sitting 10 of 10 because that group's now going to come through together. They could be the team outside that does the Bulldogs Richmond. They're the most likely, according to the age profile. And they've got Carlton and Western Bulldogs. The weird thing with them, though, he just chucked that many blokes in this year, playing them to get them games.
Beverage.
Yeah, I reckon because they looked at him and went, you know what, we're not going to get there.
Yep.
Let's get a lot of games into these other guys real quick, like Lewis Young, which, you heard of him?
No.
And now all of a sudden it's like, he could be a 22. And they lost Adams, which sort of hurt them, and they lost this black and that black. Things kept going wrong for them. So they obviously looked and thought, we've still got a heap of young guys, which they have.
Yeah.
So let's play them. And Richmond, amazingly, was fourth because they played all those young guys, Castagna.
Chai Bolton.
I've got him coming. He's not. He will be a walk-up into the 22 next year.
Yeah.
Walk-up start. So Richmond's VFL team... They've got 5 sitting there that I reckon are AFL players. Cody Ellis, manager is, and I really rate this Garthwaite kid. I reckon at 19, he'll probably take Broad's spot, but he will for the first 3 weeks. Yeah. And then Broad might not get back in. And then I've got Brisbane, which is fairly obvious that they're going to be where they are. They're starting to get it right.
Yep.
But again, they endured the couple of years of pain. The team that's worst off, which is, you could pick this in an absolute blink, I reckon, if I said to you, who is worst?
Fuck, I mean, I would almost say, I'm saying West Coast or Geelong.
Jeez, mate, I got West Coast with a 2, so almost, and they've gone and looked at their list and went, uh-oh, and now how many blokes have they turfed this year?
Yeah.
All the old blokes.
Yep.
But they haven't brought those other guys in because they never played them.
Well, that's the thing.
They're in all sorts of trouble.
And they didn't bring in any youngsters during the trade period. They were really quiet, which I found very surprising.
So do I, because they obviously look and think, we don't know what to do here at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
We're at a loss.
Where are North placed?
Dead last.
Yeah, gotcha.
They had 17 guys in that age bracket.
Are you a bit worried about them for next year?
Yeah, they've dead set made a pact to finish last, haven't they?
Who knows?
I know.
Really?
Well, what did they do? Go back over their last year and a half.
Yeah.
How many games they won? Well, they won out of that. They won that first. Was it 10 out of 11?
It was last year. Yeah.
It was a year. Was that 2016?
Yeah, it was. Wasn't it?
Was it last year?
Holy cow! I think you're right. Yeah.
Jesus.
And then they only won like
falling off the cliff.
2 in the back end.
Something like that.
And then what they do this year? 4 maybe.
Yeah, maybe 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the next year it's going to be the same. Will that qualify them for a priority pick, winning 10 games in 3 seasons almost?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. How's this 2018 draft looking?
It's a super draft.
Super draft.
It's so surprising. 17 guys in that age bracket, one of them over 15 games.
That is incredible.
Where does that work then for Brad Scott then? Does he kind of...
He's gone and sold them the vision, hasn't he?
Okay, gotcha.
He must
so he's
have
like,
gone.
We may finish last next year, but 2020, can I please have another contract?
Yeah, and I reckon they've dead set done that as well, to say, look, okay, we need to clear out... I think it was Adelaide done it, didn't they? Remember what's his name got in and just went, yeah, old bloke, out.
Oh, you mean Blighty from back
that far? Correct, yeah. That's right. And then I think North had done that with Harvey and all the other old fellas.
Yeah, Santo, Petrie.
And really just... I mean, if you watched some of their footy last year, I mean... I was just a bit surprised. But
are you stunned that Todd Goldstein managed to stay at that team when he had a little bit of currency at the end of last year? He had none this year.
That's why, none. No club, they shopped him.
Yeah, right.
Every club is like, no, you'll be right. Because they want to play that Bruce kid, and we wouldn't.
That's the thing, though. The year before, everyone was in love with him.
Yeah.
It drops off pretty quick in this competition, mate. You fall out of love real easy, the clubs do.
Because they blew it, not trading.
It was their fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always hark back to the Byron Pickett thing when Chris Pelkin pulled the Byron Pickett trade. You know, went to North and said, well, you know, he's got one more year to go, but he'll walk next year if you'd at least let him go now and we'll give you something for him.
Get something for him.
North were like, he's not going to leave. And then Port goes, take the risk, see what happens. So that was a lovely little bluff. And I remember Pelks telling Choco, would you be interested if we get Byron Pickett? And he went, yeah, good on you. He goes, no, we can get him. He goes, if you get him, did 26-1 to win the Norm Smith, I do believe, that year, 2004 Premiership player, and North at least got something.
Yeah.
While they held firm, I think they may have thought we might recover a bit, maybe, and still have currency. Maybe they didn't expect Bruce to come on. It's hard to know, but... No.
I got 2 questions, one slightly off topic.
Yep.
Back in like 2004 when you're at Port, are you allowed to bet on the games then? Or had rules been brought in yet? And please incriminate yourself.
I don't know, but I didn't have a bet. I never do it. My dad did.
even today.
You can't get him, he's dead. He passed away recently.
In his gold coffin.
So he better not have taken it with him. I should have checked his pockets.
Even today, could recruiters bet on a game? Is it that far?
No,
it's anyone part of the club.
So anyone can
No way. Okay. Yeah. But we didn't know. I mean, there was no, Byron Pickett's going to start forward.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He was just playing really well, and Dad thought, I reckon he's going to go all right. And I said, he'll smash these guys, Dad.
Yeah.
So fair enough.
As long as you didn't do a Dean Wallace and wear a top tracksuit into the TAB in Bendigo.
Dad went up to the table. I took him up there. I took him, and he went and put the money on him.
Yeah.
He was very happy when he won.
Isn't that what happened with Tyson Goldsack's family?
Yeah.
And then have you had much to do with Chris Fagan in the past?
No.
No, gotcha. I was just thinking if there was any inside knowledge on him. Yeah.
Nope.
Not dishing for dirt, just curious what he's like.
No, he's doing really well. Can I just go back to North? Now, obviously, yep. You keep reading that they've got this war chest that's coming.
They have to.
They can go after two big-name players, you know, worth over $1 million each and throw cash at them. What if they don't get them, though? What happens there? Like, because you have to pay 95% of a salary cap. You can balloon it out to 105% for a couple of years if you've underpaid for a few.
Yep.
But soon enough, like, if no one goes there, they're kind of fucked. Like, will they be in trouble in a couple of years if they can't lure a big fish? And why would anyone want to go there when you look at their profile?
They're all the arguments, so I reckon you've hit right in the head. And I think they'll... Again, next year will be an issue.
Yep.
The year after, they'll go back to Josh Kelly, and he will come then.
You reckon he'll go to North?
Living certain, he just wanted to win the flag there, and he'll go. Two more years.
Yeah.
And they'll get someone, because he won't be able to refuse the money they'll give him.
Yeah, right. So it'll be like an unbelievable... If they've got enough money for two players, they'll give it to one and just go, fuck, just come.
And then, hopefully, that will make... Other someone else come the year after or whatever. Yeah. And they'd have to have a war chest with what they got rid of.
Yeah,
they have
absolutely.
To be telling the truth.
So is the next person Sloan? Is that going to be the story for all of next year about
Lynch and Sloan? And that's what I'm thinking as Buckley sold, you know, to the board, Sloan or Lynch coming. He must have, because...
They don't need Sloan, do they?
They need Lynch.
They need Lynch, yeah, like nothing else. I imagine they'll... And he's a restricted free agent, so that gives... Yeah. Gold Coast a chance to match what Collingwood, but not that they'll be able to.
Well, that'll disappear sooner or later. They'll change that rule. Probably not this year, probably next year.
Yep.
The drafting will change.
So what do you mean, what are they going to change in the free agency?
Yeah, year numbers, I reckon. It'll go down from restricted, might be, or unrestricted. Instead, was it 6 years, I think, unrestricted?
Yeah, I think so.
They'll probably drop a year and restricted. They'll just make some little tweaks to it, because it hasn't really worked.
I was going to say, what's not working about it that they might want to tweak it?
Our players have just got them over a barrel, haven't they?
Yeah.
And the
clubs
know it, and they just go. So I think that it's got to drop a year, maybe.
Okay.
And facilitate that. But I think you're right. They probably don't need Sloan.
Yeah.
But where's he going to go? He'll be interesting. Interesting to watch. I'm not sure what he'll do.
Yeah.
Not sure. I think, is he St Kilda bound? Is he... Yeah.
I mean, an interesting thing about Dusty was the fact that, you know, there was no other player that we talked about as much. And what did he sign back in round 18 or so, maybe, round about then when he...
They signed in the bye, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Okay, there we go. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so back end of the year. I can't remember a player who there's been that much talk about a contract.
Yeah.
And they've actually pulled that kind of season. Yep.
Yes, and stayed.
Yeah. Yeah, and stayed. And stayed, of course. Yeah,
that's right.
Because usually the thing is, once they start saying, I haven't worked it out, you know, Matt Pickers gets involved. Yeah. It's like they're out of there.
And it's done. I'd Lynch, a hard one. If they start winning, can they sell that to him?
And can they afford to lose him too?
Oh, they can't. Yeah. They're getting all sorts. I think they are anyway. I'm not sure how long they'll last, if they'll last.
Well, so Campbell Brown was making a bit of noise about that. They need to kind of start going, or do they pull the pin?
A Tassie.
Just a money pit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the trade period. So Stewie Jew has obviously taken over at Gold Coast. They gave up pick two for Lockie Weller.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would have done? Like pick two, they need good kids up there, but Lockie Weller's obviously going to be a very good player. Is he worth the pick that they gave up for him to Freo?
He wanted to go there, so that's probably a bonus, isn't it?
That is, I mean, that
And I think that's why
everyone.
They did it. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. They were like... sorry?
Someone wants to come in.
Yeah.
What was your name? Yeah, what was your name? Well, fine. No problem. We'll do it. Yeah. We don't care. He's in. And I think when Freo looked and thought, if we can, you know, get an early pick or secure an early pick somewhere, we can manage to get rid of him. We'll pick up two pretty good players. One we'll probably lose. One we'll probably keep. And I think they've gone into it pretty smart. I hate Fremantle, but I think this time they've done it the right way.
So they've got picks 2 and 5?
2 and 5.
Yeah.
So with two, pick one of the midfielders. With five, probably pick a Western Australian as a safety net.
Yep. Oh, so you don't reckon they'll go for two West Australians?
No. First pick, they'll just go best mid.
Okay.
And then the next one at five, probably should go another real gun that's going to be there, but maybe will be spooked into going for a key defender, Western Australian, that Norton kid or whatever.
Yep.
We better play it safe. But as you said, Gold Coast, that was smart. Weller all going straight in the team.
Yeah.
And the fact is, he wanted to go there, so you're not going to lose him. If you hold on to pick two, it could have been the same scenario. In 2 or 3 years, they'll say, no, we'll get the kid in, assimilate him in with Ainsworth and all those. Maybe not.
Like Ace did from Brisbane. You stay for two and leave.
And see you later. So it's the only competition in the world, does it? NBA don't do it. NFL don't. No go-home factor in rugby league. It's just something here that happens.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Never happens in anywhere else.
But well, I suppose go-home factor, Gary Ablett. Are they going to get anything out of him?
I've no idea. I reckon if he's fit and healthy and happy, he could be dangerous.
He's not playing in Perth or Brisbane or the Gold Coast, is he? He's staying pretty in Adelaide. He's playing in Melbourne. In Geelong. He's playing in Melbourne. He may go to Adelaide.
Traveling.
No, he's not travelling.
He's not travelling. So he's staying. It could work. It probably will work. But their list is thin, sort of below that the top echelon. Jeez.
Where did you have them in their 1-4?
Yeah, I got them right in the middle somewhere, I think.
Low?
Yeah, I had them, five. Yeah. Because, again, the bottom half, they just didn't play a lot of kids. They had 16 on the list. They only ended up playing... five had only played over 15.
Another one of those teams have been up for seeming
so
ever.
That's right. And they sit in that.
And like other teams pick off their younger players because they're not getting games. Like Carlton got Darcy Lang. There's probably a few others that have drifted out just because.
I mean,
we got Billy Smets for a year. I mean, that was fucking great.
Off he went. Rhys Palmer. See that? I think, Lang probably looked and went, oh, great, they're bringing Ablett.
Yeah, it's all over for me.
So I've got to wait another 3 years probably. I might as well go to Carlton, get a game every week, get a bit of money, hopefully play better.
Yep.
Carlton are going to improve. Yeah, it could be right. Geelong will fall off sooner or later. So
now, who won the trade period for you? For me, it was either out of Port Adelaide and Essendon. I say Essendon did the better deal.
Yeah,
getting in Stringer, Devon Smith and Adam Sard.
Fits the bill beautifully, what they need.
Yeah. So can you see them being top four next year with those three moving in there?
Yeah, same with Port. I reckon they're both probably going to push for that. I think Port looked at it and went, what do we need? We need someone who can kick the ball to Dixon.
Yep.
Watts can do that.
And Tom Rockliffe.
And Rockliffe will just take the pressure off heaps. Motlop, 50-50. If he's on, he's on, and that'll help him.
Yep. Trent McKenzie?
Again, he's when we're playing someone down the bottom that we think we can beat, let's rest Hartlett and play McKenzie.
Okay.
Trengrove will be the same.
Yep.
Yeah. Give a chop out to Boak or those guys.
And Lindsay Thomas just
No. Jeez.
Is they picking him up?
Please note, Craig's put his head in his hands.
This has really got my goat up, this one. On a rookie list. What a disgrace. It's not a rookie. The rookie list was brought in originally for kids who just missed out on being drafting for one reason or the other.
Yeah.
Injury, whatever. And then the club started using it to just pay guys less money. It'll go. I reckon this will be the last year. I reckon they'll ditch it and go to 43 on the list, and that's it.
Also because now rookies, you don't need an injury to put them onto the main list. Rookies can play from round one.
Hold spots up for so many reasons, and category Bs and category... Yeah. Just give him a 43. And Lindsay Thomas. Seriously, Lindsay Thomas.
Oh, he's lovable. Lovable rogue.
Okay, I'll tell you what's going to happen to Lindsay Thomas. He'll retire really quickly. Because if he's picked round one for Port Magpies in the sample, and they play Norwood, at Norwood, I've got a mate of mine, Fester. He has a history of destroying opposition with his gob. he's well known. He gave Kane Corns one of the best sprays, and he's an ongoing battle with Kane Corns that's really escalated. He's just a supporter.
See, I can say supporter, not
supporter,
player.
Supporter? No, Fester. Yeah. No. Just a supporter. Loves Norwood. Wears his heart in his sleeve.
Yep.
Does everything for the club. Just helps out everywhere. He really loves Sandford and he loves his club. He will give Lindsay Thomas... If Lindsay Thomas reckons he's been racially vilified, every other vilification, he has not heard vilification until Fester gets him. And Fester will go... That Fester's had players coming up the race spit at him. and he proudly wears his moniker of, destroying players' careers. And
Norwood, you can get very close, up close and personal at Norwood.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So you can be heard.
He can go out of the ground.
Traditional old suburban ground.
Yeah. He can be heard he stands in a pocket. He can be heard the other end of the ground when he swears at him.
The people at Chicken Shop on the corner tell him to keep it down.
Yeah. Lindsay Thomas will retire after the first game because of being festerised, I call it. So he seriously, if they pick him, if you're listening, Lindsay, which I know he probably does. Cause,
absolutely. Big fan.
We're
very positive about North Melbourne. Everyone listens down there.
I think he'll retire.
So what's Fester going to have in store for Jack Watts then?
What do you think of Watts going to Port?
I don't mind it because he's kicking, but he'll play, he won't play Sandful. He'll play straight up every week and he'll just play in the wing and kick it down Charlie Dixon's throat or down Paddy Ryder when he's having a rest.
Yep.
He's what they needed. He's what they needed. If he has a ordinary game, he's not going to struggle because that Port crowd will let him know real quick.
Yep.
But I just think he's going to be in the right environment for how he plays, what the role they'll give him. I reckon it'll be perfect. Motlop, he'll probably play 22 games as well, you'd think. He'd be in the best 22.
First well, definitely. I mean, he's Geelong's best 22. It's just whether or not he was switched on.
And that was purely up to him. You think he probably will be now. The move will make him think, uh-oh.
I was kick up the bum.
Yeah, he kind of, you get near the end and you're like a better...
Yeah, and he's, I think...
What is he, 24?
No, I mean, like, not at the end, but like, you know, his second chance.
I think Marlon, I think Marlon works there, Marlon Motlop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He played a couple of games at Port a few years ago when he was drafted.
Yeah.
So he's a cousin, he's soft as.
So then what about Hodgie?
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yep.
Did you?
No, not quite. Actually, no. I think a lot of people have pre-ordered the book. Didn't see it coming either.
I shed a tear almost. I was like, no, you can't do that. No.
He was one of those people. I suppose Mitchell and Lewis, like Hawthorn, understood that.
Yep.
But Hodgie is that Hawthorn guy, isn't he? He was the one guy, kind of, I think, bit like a Ruffy now. If Ruffy headed off, you know, for a year somewhere else, he'd be like, no.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
No, it won't happen with Ruffy. But it'll be a good game to watch Hawthorn and Brisbane.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. So... It's 2 years, I think. Is the challenge 2 years?
It's a 2 year deal. I can't imagine him playing in Perth.
He'll play 1 year and then I reckon he'll
coach.
Moving to coaching, yeah.
How much of an advantage is it to have him in that back line surrounded by...
He's a coach.
Yeah. I mean, we heard that in that game when he was playing against Adelaide.
Yeah, don't send the runner out. You don't need to send the runner out. So the runners will be happy. They'll do half a ground.
Yeah, so they'll just do forward half.
Just do forward half and Hodge, you'll do the rest. Jeez, it's a good move by them. And they've got that other big kid, Harris Andrews. I reckon he's actually going to be a player.
Yep.
And they've got a bit of grunt in the midfield.
So what are they, like 2 years away?
Yeah, definitely.
Starting to push for the eight?
Yeah, when Hodge sort of leaves, that's when they'll be ready to go. I reckon he expressly get them ready. Yeah, because they've got a couple of Hipwood, Rafa. He's
a superstar.
He's ready to go.
Yeah.
I didn't need Shacky. Didn't need him, I reckon.
What are your thoughts on Josh Shacky? I mean, he was a number two pick. He went behind Jacob Wiedering. So he's, after 2 years, he's gone. And he gets picked up for, what was it, pick 28 that the Doggies gave up? Something like that? Like a second-round pick?
I think
have you heard about him?
Hurt by the TAC system, I reckon, because, you know, those stupid rules that they have with three players have got to stay inside 50 and as forwards.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, tack. Did you know that, Michael?
I didn't know that, but I do know they don't have the bounce anymore. I found that out today.
Yeah.
No, three players have got to remain inside 50.
Right.
So problem is, you run out, you're, got to stop. Yeah. So they play in zones. It's just so wrong, because then they come to the AFL system and run up the ground.
Yeah.
So then you've got to learn to run up the ground and work, and I think that hurt him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really hurt him. So it'd be interesting to see if he can adapt. He might have just needed another year or two to get used to playing. And it doesn't hurt midfielders.
Yeah.
Because they can do what they want. It's like a netball thing by the look of it.
Yeah.
But it's worse on forward. So they've come out of attack. I think Hipwood didn't come out of attack.
If you were a recruiter and you pick someone at number two who 2 years later went for pick 28, are you shattered by that? Do you just go, fuck, that's a huge miss?
What did we do here?
Yeah.
How did we not get this right? Because they get it right all the time now with the psychological testing. The interview process is so thorough.
Yeah.
But again, you can't tell with some people. Things change over a year. The homesick thing, it's a real thing. My son went and played at Norwood a few years ago, and at one stage he was feeling a bit homesick, and I said to him, no, stay.
Stick it out.
Yep, stick it. You know, they.
Is it Fester keeps on yelling at me?
Fester loved him. I'd never met Fester until Joel played at Norwood, and Joel played in the first game, was hard as nails, and Fester said, I don't know who this kid is, but I love him. They gave him Gary McIntosh's number, so it was a fair honour. And he said, he's just belted up three West players in his first game. That's my boy. And he literally calls Joel that now. And Fester, to his credit, Norwood had an honour thing around the picket fences we could buy. He bought one and put Joel's name and our family name on it with his family, and then Joel gave all his Norwood jumpers to Fester as a thank you. So he sort of taken him as a son, and he sort of which was, you know, really nice. He looked after him for me when he was over there. But yeah, no, you'd want Fester on your side rather than against you.
That's good to know.
His daughter's a wrestler too.
Keep that in mind.
So shall we have a bit of a preview of the upcoming draft? Ooh. Who do you reckon your form guide?
We're back. We've done all right the last 2 years. You know, we've nailed, I think, 8 out of 10 the last 2 years in the top 10.
So the top 10 picks would be...
I'm loving you saying we. I really appreciate being thrown into that mix.
The top 10 order is Brisbane, Frio, Carlton, North, Frio again, Collingwood, St Kilda, 2 in a row, 7 and 8. They got Hawthorn's first round from last year. Yeah. And then Doggies, 9, and then Carlton, 10. So Carlton, 2 on the top 10. It's not bad, Adam.
Yes.
One of those was for Barais Gibbs.
And so who do you reckon might be shifting around? Who do you reckon's angling for number one?
Personally, I like Davies Uniacke. I think.
So this is for Brisbane.
This is Brisbane number one, Davies Union. I reckon they'll go. Look, struck match between the top five. Like everyone's saying, it could be any of them. It could be. Could even be Brayshaw, who's sitting down 7 or 8. Could be. But I reckon they'll go him because Mum lives there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the safety.
Yeah.
There's the safety net you want. Bit of a surfy. So there's a bit of waves up there in there, yep. Queensland somewhere. Yeah. So I reckon it's a safer bet. But he can't play. He's said, struck match this year. Really difficult. Any of the top six literally could go one.
Is he a tall, a forward, a back?
187, 85, midfielder, athletic midfielder.
Yep.
Classy. Just one of those. Think Trent Cotchin. There you go.
Okay. Yep, I can picture that.
You can do that.
How much, you know, you read that players have a great combine and they go, they've really moved up. Like Angus Brayshaw is one of those ones who, is it Angus? No.
Yeah.
He's
Andrew,
sorry. He's moved up a lot in talk in the last couple of weeks post-combine. How much does that change what you see? They go, he's really good at the yo-yo test.
This is where we're...
like over-tested.
This is telling us we're doing everything... It's called the combine now. I mean, I find that funny because it was draft camp and draft testing when my son done it or when I was involved.
So draft camp sounds more fun than the combine.
Not when you're being interviewed by Choco.
Yeah, well, that's
Jude
that.
Bolton, Dominic Cassisi. combine. So we're heading everything. So we'll go to live draft trading next year, I reckon.
You think that will happen?
Yes, of course it will. Whether they have to nominate on the day earlier to say, all right, we're at pick 6, we want to swap with 3 or pick 2, we've done the deal, I think that'll probably happen rather on the night. I don't think we're quite ready to go. You know, if Collingwood's sitting there thinking, oh, geez, we really want this guy, but we think they're going to pinch him, do a deal with a club 2 in to go now. Because I don't know how we'd work it here, whether we'd, like, pick 5 as Fremantle, 1 minute for clubs to lodge a request, no request, Fremantle, and then pick. Because I just don't know. You know, and I reckon eventually when we get used to this trading out, we'll do what they do in the NFL, where you'll be able to trade a player at the last minute coming up. Oh, pick 6, we'll give you
so-and-so for that pick.
For that pick on the night. It's kind of, you'd have to be really smart and clever to do it. But I think the live trading maybe on the day will come in. So then whoever's reading them out go, pick 4 was North Melbourne, is now St Kilda, who's picked up whatever. So I think that'll happen.
Yeah, right. Also, the Saints gave up 7 and 8 for pick 4.
Yeah, correct. North. Yeah, they might move up because at pick 7, they might be thinking we want this Brayshaw. Geez, we've got a gut feeling that North are going to go somewhere else. But at 5, we're really hearing from... Because clubs hear everything. You hear who they're going to take. And you're like, oh, geez, no, we want to get in there, get him.
Have you heard who's going to go number 1?
No, seriously. I've sent a few messages out to people. I've had like 3 different responses.
Yeah, okay. It's like, that's interesting.
Nah, and then last year I got all the good money.
If clubs are hearing stuff, then... Yeah. Are they putting out false information?
Which commonly happens. I have been asked to do that back in the day and tell different blokes different things just to try to bluff them, but they're too smart for that now, I reckon.
Yeah, that's like Carlton said, we'll take blame Bokehurst. And everyone went, good one. No, that's great. That's great. talking about this shit. It's a bluff.
And it was like, oh, well done.
Yeah.
So you get 3 different number one picks. Okay, so who are these top 3 that all these 3 people have been talking about?
Davies Uniacke at 1. Freo got them going. Paddy Dow, again, another athletic midfielder. He's a halfback, sort of good user of the ball, highly rated fella too. Think Zach Merritt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I reckon he'll go 2. 3, if Carlton do not take Cam Rayner, they need their head rest.
So Cam Rayner is the one that everyone's saying is similar to Dusty. Is that right?
Even his haircut. But he was the one who on the week didn't have a great... yo-yo beep, or whatever you want to call it nowadays.
Yeah, there's questions on his tank.
Yeah, but... Look, some of them have different reasons. These kids, they're smart, and their managers are smart, going, don't run too hard, because...
Is that right?
Well, if you're given the option, mate, if you have a blinder here, you know where you could be going?
Yep.
Brisbane?
Yeah.
Or Freo?
Freo.
Yeah.
Now, Rosie, what would you do if your manager said to you, if you break the 3 or whatever it is whatever...
I'd be getting that combine and cracking a couple of frothies and going in the yo-yo.
I'll just struggle a bit. Now the club's going, oh, and I saw the newspaper report. They're telling us everything we know, that his endurance isn't great. His endurance might not be great for a reason. He just want to go Brisbane or Freo. I don't know. But I just reckon he's a perfect fit for them.
But if you've watched him play all year and you say he's a jet, he's clearly can run all day because he's accumulated enough ballers. Like, he's got 25, 26 posies. Clearly, he's got some sort of endurance. Just because he doesn't have elite combine endurance, does that play into people's heads, or do you just go, nah, it's bullshit?
It wouldn't worry me, but it does with some others.
Okay.
Wouldn't worry me at all, because I think, well, isn't your job to then train him to be an AFL player?
Well, yeah, that's right.
So you use your people to do it.
I mean, Dane Swan was fat, you know?
Well, yeah, you build up that tank, don't you?
Yeah, that's their job as coaches. Well, you got 4 billion development coaches and nutritionists. I reckon Carlton will get a hold of it if they do and just go, where are we going to play him? Okay, let's just play him as that half-forward burst player maybe. He's not going to play midfield yet for Carlton, surely. Yeah. When you got Cripps and Kennedy now. And man, I reckon he's a perfect fit for them.
Okay.
He's my think player. Who are we thinking he's like? Come on, you know, Rick.
Gets ball, no tank. Yeah. Well, half
shortish, bum a little bit close to the ground. Robbie Gray.
Oh, gotcha.
Your favourite. Who was a basketballer, you know.
I've heard rumours about that, yep, basketball. Background.
Robbie's been a bit sick. He's going on right now. He had a little bit of a fright with the testicular cancer.
Oh, that's right, of course. Yeah, how is that?
No, he's fine. I got it. So, all the best, Robbie. He'll be listening.
Pick three?
No, Carlton 3, no, North 3.
4. Pick 4, North Melbourne will just go with the next best mid, which, again, it'll be a toss-up, but I reckon they'll go Adam Serra.
I'd heard Carlton were into Serra.
Yeah, well, if Serra and Rayner are both there, Rayner and a blink fits you better.
Okay,
interesting. But Serra's hard, pretty strong, dominant stoppage player, but see, Carlton already got that with Cripps and with Kennedy.
Kennedy now, yeah.
Murphy's going to be very happy with Kennedy coming in. He'll just go, thank you, I'll be over here, you get it to me now.
Is that right? So you can be a bit of an outside.
I would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, I spent my whole life really happy.
He'll be really happy, a bit Chamberlain-esque to be outside and deliver, but he'll be dangerous.
Okay.
Murph, so Serra, I reckon, will pop. He's 186 and 80. So again, interesting. Davey Juniak is 187. Paddy Dow, 185. Rayner, 186. Serra, 186. So they're all the 6'1 midfielders.
Yep.
How long ago was a 6'1 centre forward?
Are there any giants floating around?
Yeah, we've got one way down at 5. This is the one that I'm not sure about.
Okay, so this is a Fremantle pick.
Yeah. Should be
top 5.
Jaden Stevenson, who is a 189 midfielder. Quick, and he's tall and real quick. But will Freo get a little bit... Because
he's a Victorian boy.
Yep. Yeah, he is an Eastern Rangers kid, so think Isaac Smith. That's all Isaac Smith is kid.
Okay.
Will they jump at someone like Aaron Norton, who's a key position defender, who I've got going 15. That's probably where he should go.
Yeah.
But what do they do? Mm. I reckon it's going to be a really interesting call on Freo.
Okay. That's going to be fun to watch.
It will be. It's like the one I'm wanting to see the most, apart from the Rayner at pick 3.
Yep.
I honestly don't think he'll go before that, but I don't know what they'll do. The 6, I've got Darcy Fogarty, Glenel kid, contested ball winner, clearance winner, really good mark. He's off to Collingwood.
Who's it? Oh, okay. So you think they'll go another mid?
He's a tall...
Tall mid.
Yeah, and can play forward and back. He's 193, so he's got just that. It's about an Oscar Allen.
A little bit more height.
Bit more height.
Yeah, and I suppose he's still got. He'll probably keep growing, like not unlike Patrick Cripps did, who's like sitting about 94, 195.
When he was drafted, I wouldn't have thought he would have got to that height, Cripps.
Yeah.
No way. It used to be a thing you'd be able to look at their shoulders was a good key that we were told years ago to see if they had like coat hanger shoulders or squared.
Yeah.
If they sort of got squared shoulders, it meant they're broad and they can have the propensity to grow. As much as I was told once, they've got shoulders.
Yeah.
No, it's the old coat hanger, you know, the drooping sort of shoulder. Yeah. Doesn't give you much
room to grow.
Yeah. And it...
You're looking everywhere. You're looking at shoulders. Earlier you're looking at calves.
I'll tell you, thank you for that. We were at a huddle once, me and another recruiter at Port, and we were looking at the guy's calf. We're like, geez, they're quite good, aren't they? Like, he's got a lot of power. They're not chicken calves, so we think they're big calves. And there's a bloke next to us going, oh, no, we work for a club. And he's going, you guys? We go, here's our thing. I won't dob the other guy's name in, but he's a well-known recruiter and been in the AFL system for a long time, legend. And I'm going, He's an ex-legend. So looking at the guy's calves.
Looking at asses in the shower was different.
Bit different.
Yeah, a bit different. So 7 and 8, you got St Kilda.
Boom, now, here we go.
7 and 8's a pretty sweet deal, isn't it?
How good is that? Because you're thinking, right,
I mean, you guys got O'Meara, and that was really good for you.
He'll be right. Actually, what do you
reckon? He'll be right.
What do you reckon?
No, he'll be right. Look, right off this year at Hawthorn didn't exist. As most or some may know, there was a terrible tragedy off season, and it affected the club greatly. Yep. A massive effect on the club. It changed everything. At their preparation, everything. So they will bounce back very quickly, and it'll work. And the thing is, the benefit, they got some games into
a handful of kids.
Hardwick and Burton, who turned out all right. And their cousin's kids sort of come from nowhere. And
Glass, people like that. So, the Irish connection. Yeah.
So
who gets to blame for Vickery? So let's blame someone. Is that Clarko?
And they can blame Tyrone, I think. Yeah. I think obviously he's lost the passion and he wants to follow his wife play tennis around the world. You've seen Roddy Inover? His wife?
Oh, yes.
Well, what would you do?
No, absolutely.
Would you like to play footy and get your head kicked in every week and train in 4 degrees heat like now or whatever?
Yeah.
Or
you go to the circuit.
I'm really surprised that does not get mentioned more, that he has a wife on the international circuit.
And that's a good reason to go, to be honest. I'd in a blink be going, see you, boys. I'll be texting the boys. I'm in Paris at the moment. How you going, boys? Yep. How hot is it?
Jakey, you can run the pizza shop.
And I presume, I suppose this money goes to him, but I was just reading today, they still have to pay the $500,000. That has to go into the pay
payments.
It's
in the salary cap.
Yeah, so
I suppose he gets a year of $500,000. For doing nothing.
Oh, he'll pay him back. She wins a major tournament.
2 years for doing nothing. That's not bad. $1 million.
She wins a major tournament. Surely he'll give the club some back, won't he?
Oh, well, he's got to put a little on that restaurant. There's been trouble there.
Well, St Kilda, I reckon if Brayshaw's sitting there, they'll go in for sure.
Okay.
Talk is an outstanding leader. My notes, I've got him wins the inside ball, uses it well, is a competitive beast. I think it just goes with Brayshaw, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because the other one is too. And
James was fucking frightening on the footy show.
There's always a black sheep, isn't there?
Yeah.
So I reckon they'll pounce. At 8 becomes interesting because I did hear Finnis say whether we go at all or if there's an outstanding, which is probably what they want to do.
Yeah.
But if there's another outstanding midfielder still left, they just take him. Which, I mean, you can probably make a player a better midfielder than you can a key position. So it's going to be a tough call for them, I reckon. But if Cofield's there, I reckon they might go him.
Cofield?
Nick Cofield, yeah.
Okay.
Northern Knights, 190. So he's like a medium defender.
Yep.
Speedy.
Like third? So like a Dylan Robertson?
It very much so. So I know they've got that, but they lost Dempster, haven't they? So
yep.
They may be thinking, no, he's still going to fill that role. So if he's there, Cofield, which he should be, I reckon they'll do that. Again, tough call, so that's a question mark one. Having two is really hard to know what clubs are going to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
And how do they feel the whole of Nick Revolt?
Yeah, well, aren't they pinning everything on McCartan at the moment?
The
PR machine's rolling real well at St Kilda. But he won the time trial, didn't he do this, didn't that, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously, any time he does something well, you're going to read about it, I reckon.
Yeah.
They'll just get that positive out there. Moving back to Moorabbin soon.
Mm.
And apparently they've told all the pigeons to move on. They won't be coming back, which is good. And they've covered all the holes up, so you can't sneak in.
You can't roll in.
Can't lie on the grass across the road at the old Chilvers house.
Can't disguise the voice.
What about Nathan Freeman? Do you think he'll ever get into the one?
Jeez. And again, they'll put out good stuff about him.
Yeah, absolutely. Got 45 in the Sandringham reserves.
So yeah, and if he helps a lady across the road, you'll hear about it.
And as long as he didn't do his hamstring doing it.
Boom. If he picks up a bit of paper that's rolling down Linton Street, they'll put out all the good press on him too. So I reckon they're the two that you'll read the most about.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll get up though? Like, he's just been so injury prone in 3 seasons.
Soft tissues. Jeez, that's a risk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Question mark him for sure.
Okay.
Number 9, the Bulldogs. I'm going to have a plonk on Charlie Constable. Now, I don't even think he's been invited to the draft.
That's a terrific name.
Charlie Constable, 191, Sandy Dragons boy. So, again, this is weird, 191, and he's a mid. Again, inside midfielder. He can play forward and back, and he's pretty clean. So, I think he becomes... He looks like a Bulldogs type. You know, that height that can play forward, can play back, put him wherever we want to. And I reckon that fits the Bulldogs, how they... they picked their list. Simon Dalrymple down there, who obviously came from the Chris Pelkin School of Recruiters. Hamish Ogilvie, another one at Adelaide, all worked under Pelks.
What do you mean not invited to the draft? Do you mean not to the combine?
Yeah, no, to draft night. I thought I read something that he wasn't invited to draft night.
Oh, okay. So it's got to hurt.
It must have been a mistake. It sort of tells you.
Yeah.
But I could be really wrong here.
Do clubs say we're thinking of taking this kid?
Yes, they do. They actually, you can put in a wish. Yeah, I think they have to get, in the old days it used to be three or five clubs had to say, yep. So we wanted those kids there.
So they fly them up and put them up and take mum and dad with them, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that discussion happened a long time ago. It was like, yeah, hang on, if we sort of saying we want that guy there, we're giving a hand away.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
we won't nominate that guy and someone else and try to keep him as a 50 for a hush-hush late pick.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it does come into it. That discussion is held. So you've got to weigh it up. But I think Sheehan or whoever's in charge of all the AFL academies, they also get involved and go, no, he is going to be there. So they pretty much get it right. And the cameraman will be zooming in on blokes. You're thinking, oh, looks like he's next.
Yeah, okay. I love those trade periods. I think last year was Omira, and there was probably later ones this year. But when, you know, that Omira deal got done with, you know, 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes after that, they wheel out Omira wearing a Hawthorn jumper out at Waverley. And it's like these people kind of have to hide in a... And you go, what if they don't make that deal done? It's like, well... Back to the airport, mate. Back to Gold Coast.
Yeah, later. Off it goes. Yeah, it's like the NBA. At least they have a cap on the thing.
Yeah.
The guy just walks up, grabs the cap, puts it on, and then turns around and goes, who am I playing? Oh, Philadelphia 76ers. Thank you. So, nine is a bit of a punt. I've taken a bit of a punt pick on that one because I think the Bulldogs are the ones that normally do that. 10, the Blues. Now,
here we go.
Has last week's terrible incident changed things?
I was going to ask you about that. So obviously Sam Doherty, All-Australian player, went down. I don't think Carlton could have afforded to lose anyone less than Sam Doherty because...
Yeah, I agree.
we're not about super deep in the midfield, but we have midfielders. We've got some forwards there, but our forwards aren't great yet. But to lose Doherty, who's so creative off half-back, great intercept player.
Yeah.
Do you draft for that, or do you just go, it's a year where we're going to suck a little bit? We picked up Aaron Mullett in the trade period. He was delisted.
He'll probably come and take that role now. So, yeah, I wouldn't panic because you know you've got someone to back up. I also think it means that Cameron O'Shea will go to Carlton now, live in certainty.
Yeah, so he was playing with the Northern Bull Ants this year.
Even the BNF, or did he or something?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, I reckon they'll take him for sure. Maybe rookie or whatever.
Yeah.
And just think, well, he's an insurance. We know he can play. You know, if Mullet's not going great, we can chuck him down there. Wouldn't, but it may move someone up the order. I went for Hunter Clark.
Hunter Clark.
Yeah, 186. And interesting enough, he's a halfback sort of mid.
Okay.
He can find the footy, so tackles really, really well. Really good pressure player. Good for both sides, and I actually made a note, could go up the order after the mishap to Doherty. So the 9 and 10 might be the ones that have sort of jumped out a little bit.
Yep.
Out of my list, but...
So how tall was he?
He's a 186.
So when do you start thinking a player's too short? Because you look at, like, Caleb Daniel, and I thought that he was too short. What do you go? Under 180? You just start thinking, well, he's a little bit...
They're picking 175s, as long as they get the footy. I don't think it's too many. I think the smallest guy in the top 20 might be the Jack Higgins, a little small forward.
Yep. Like,
which, I mean, again, I got a bit of a punt him going to West Coast. I'm not sure.
Do we have any kind of seven-footers up there?
Yeah, Sam Hayes is the biggest guy. I reckon Sydney might take him.
Uh-huh.
He's a pure ruckman, and I just think with Sydney, still question marks around Tippett.
Yep.
Massive question marks around Tippett.
I don't know why.
Jeez.
Very durable.
Well, although...
a lot of good football.
GWS at 11 might jump in too, maybe, because I think, well, they lost Mummy.
Yeah,
only got
he's a big out, isn't he, I reckon?
Yeah, huge. I think he was second in tackles, average tackles for the year or something.
Is that just right? A bit of that.
Pretty sure.
A bit of that mongrel too.
Well, yeah, he kind of...
Protector.
You know what? They walked taller when he was there. But I think also too, it kind of forces their hand to not play, because they wanted to play lob all the time.
Yeah.
And now they go, he's in the ruck. We got the two big forwards in Patton and Cameron.
Yep.
So I think it actually makes them a better side, like they're better for it when he was out.
Structurally, yeah. So they've got Dawson Simpson, I think is the other one. So they'll still need a backup. So maybe GWS might, or I've still got them going Bonner, but they might pull this Hayes. If not, I reckon he could go to Sydney.
So who are you saying is going to go to GWS? You think Bonner?
I think Bonner at 11, but question mark around Hayes, depending if what need they see, you know, best fits.
Yep.
And do they jump on to, say, 3-year contract straight away, or is it two or three? And it's on a set amount?
Set rate, whatever it is. Yeah. Plus your matching.
90 grand or something.
Yeah. It's normally a 58 base or something like that.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then you, whatever the base game is, 3 now maybe. They want to move it to 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I think they should.
Yeah, so they should. Okay. Yeah. So, if we're going to commit to you, you need to commit to us for 3 years.
Yeah, and everyone's happy.
And everyone's happy. I got the Tigers. I think Richmond are sitting there hoping at 17. I just don't know whether the Western Bulldogs at 16 are going to nominate Nace just to mess him up.
Oh, you would, wouldn't you? Apparently he's a Jet.
Oh, he's a very good player. But
would he go higher if he wasn't attached to Richmond?
I'd take him higher.
Yeah. So top 10?
I'd have him probably... Maybe
one of the St Kilda picks?
No, probably him at 10. I'd probably have him above Hunter Clark.
Okay.
Hunter Clark.
So probably who have you got at number 12? Who's
12 Adelaide. I just went Jared Brando as a big key position, which I still think they'll need one of those as a backup. 13, I went Jack Higgins.
And who's that for?
West Coast. He's a little forward.
Sydney at 14.
And I went Sam Hayes, the big ruckman. Now...
So I guess with a ruckman, you go...
She's a hard one.
That's 4 years down the track, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. So that's
Tim Ingram's
hard
played a couple of games for the Bulldogs, but he's a stick.
Yeah, that's right. So I reckon Brisbane will take maybe Aaron Norton if Freo don't take him at that pick 5. He's the one that could be...
At 15?
Yeah. If Freo take him at 5, it's going to mess up a lot of my stuff.
So what's Norton do? Is he like a...
Key position defender more so.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Which I think Brisbane would still like one.
Yeah.
As a backup.
Yeah.
16 Bulldogs, I've got them going Nathan Murphy, who's a play anywhere sort of player, which the Bulldogs love. But they might do Nace just to wreck Richmond at 17.
So have 17 is Nace.
Well, I've got a gut feeling, I don't know why, and I keep telling old Peter B, don't worry. He's like, they're going to do it to us. Yeah. We'll have to use 17. I go, and that's okay, because he's better than that. But I just got this gut feeling they might not do it. And then at 17, Richmond will pick Oscar Allen, who I reckon would be flipping steel. I love this guy.
Really?
When I saw him. He is the second tallish forward to Richmond. I think he won the Lark medal. WA lead up mark, I reckon he'd be a straight in fit for Richmond, he'd be perfect. But also worries me that West Coast sitting there at 13 might take a homegrowner.
Yeah.
So I just got a feeling Oscar Allen might sneak. Brisbane at 18, Lockie O'Brien is an outside mid. I just need to add a little bit of outside pace still. 19, the Gold Coast. I plonk on Lachlan Fogarty. He's also a midfielder, rated pretty highly. And then the last one I went, pick 20, Richmond. Again, hoping that no one jumps in to get Nace. I've got Noah Bolter. I like the name. Noah Bolter, B-A-L-T-A is the last name. And he's a key position player. And again, suit Richmond down to the ground.
Yeah.
Have you matched this list up with any other people?
No, don't worry about that. I'll probably do it after the draft. I tend to go after draft and have a look what others have said, because I don't want anyone influencing my opinions.
Yep.
I watch a lot of tape. I get a little vision and whatnot. And mature age, there could be one out of the VFL. Fritz played it. I think it was Casey. Kicked a truckload of goals.
Oh, right. As if he's not being called Fritzel. Joseph.
He's a big kick, big marker, and the Pies might grab him. And the Liam Ryan, remember he was sort of rated last year? Kid out the waffle. He kicked 70 goals the year before, and no one took him. And it was a bit of a, And then heard that he had a few issues. He kicked another 40-odd this year, so...
It's now, thereabouts.
Yeah, I reckon with this sort of draft, again, could it be Collingwood who might take the punt on Fritz or him? Carlton, O'Shea out of the VFL... Sandfall, yeah, the only punt pick there could be the big ruckman out of Norwood, Boulderstone. If anyone needs a backup ruckman, and Meese out of the VFL, you heard about him, I mean, he averages 60 hitouts a game, and bloody why hell. Is he not on the list is crazy, but he's 29, so...
Yep.
But the comparison to the AFL, you know, the hitouts of Sandilands 41, this guy's averaging 60. Jeez, I know it's VFL, but he does play against some listed AFL guys. Yeah, and towers them up, but the age. And I got Henry Shade. I think, you know, the kid that went to Collingwood, done all right. Didn't he keep Franklin to one goal?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure he did. And then Pies delisted. So
okay.
Something's up there. And Billy Hartung, where's he going, Chambo?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Yeah.
He'll go because of his outside speed. And the fact that Hawthorn took Impey, which is a very, very good pick.
Yeah.
Outstanding pick up for Hawthorn. Really good.
So what do the Hawks do? They don't get into the draft till pick 45, I think it is. So that's third round.
Just whoever.
Yeah, just whatever's around at that stage.
It's going to be hard because some clubs will have someone rated at 12 and others will have him at 50 in this draft.
Mm. Yeah.
So
in quality, what's the quality of this draft compared to next year's?
Oh, next year's outstanding. Yeah. I mean, I've even... the kids out of South Australia, that Rankin and Lukosius, you're going to love, yeah, what a name. Lukosius is his last name. And Rosie, there's a Rosie.
We love a Rosie.
So you've got to sponsor him.
Yep.
And the Victorian got the twins, you know, the Twin Towers out of Sandy and Hale. Have you heard about them?
No, I have not.
Oh, mate, Max King and Ben King.
Brothers.
Twins, yeah. Yep, that's gotcha. Normally what that means.
Working it out as I go.
Gotcha. Yep. They will definitely be, you know, top five possibly. So that's where I reckon North are trying to get the priority pick and pick one, and they'll end up with one of the Kings and Rankine.
Max King and what's that?
Ben King.
Okay. Yeah,
Father Wayne. No.
David King's kids.
No, these are huge. They're giants and they are really good players. And that's why everyone's saying, holy cow, it's going to be a good draft. I mean, there's five guys that are going to go top.
So you think teams have got an eye on 2018 draft?
Oh, Richmond have got an eye on 2020 draft with the Rioli kid.
Yeah, okay.
Out of the territory. He's,
yeah.
Have you seen him? I saw some YouTube vision of him.
Oh, really?
He put a couple to shame now.
Oh, that's Morris's son, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved his interview when he said, you know, Dad left footer, me right footer. And the vision of him, he seriously put a few blokes to shame now. He'd walk around a few blokes at 15. He is dead set.
So what's he playing?
School footy up at that school that gets a lot of them. I was going to say he's got Richard Tambling covered. At that age.
Yep.
Clarification. That's pretty special. That's pretty special.
Richard Tambling at 16 had everyone just falling out of the drink, and this guy was going to be free.
Yeah.
And he was at South Adelaide Resies. He was outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's where he finished Tambling.
So if you're the Brisbane Lions recruiter, the draft is on Friday night. Do you have your first round pick locked in, or are you still potentially flip-flopping?
Was it 5 days beforehand?
Yeah.
Nah, you'd have locked in by now, surely. If you've been that indecisive 5 days out,
find a new line of work, mate.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many hours they spent on this? Now, you got to remember, this Davies Uniacke, it's not just this year they watched him.
Yeah,
and if you, I know, seriously, they're probably at 16s. We used to go to the under-16 championships and keep notes on guys and follow them through in their bottom age year and whatnot. And, you know, everyone's out there checking them, how they're at school, how they tie their tie nicely and their shoes nice and polished, and hopefully your family aren't rat bags, because that does come into a little bit now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that a question now? Has any of your parents been deported?
Deported to New Zealand. Because if it has, it is on the, it'll take you.
It is on the Richmond list.
Get you a Brownlow and a Norm Smith.
The quality of kids and the character of the family's always been. I think I told you a story with Choco years ago. It was always about family, and, you know, it's like, when I'm picking that kid, the family are loopy.
Yeah.
You know? So it does become an issue because parents always want to get in there, and you're like, hey, just let them go, you know, let them go and play. I think Brayshaw done himself no harm when he said, I'll go anyway, I don't care. So does that make Freo go, oh, hang on? But is that the kid saying it because I just want to live and get drafted?
Well, every kid says that, don't they? They go, I just want to play AFL footy, but I also want to go home in 2 years' time.
My son, when he was in the draft, when hoping to get in the draft, I spoke to him. We had a guy come around, signed him up for Conville Management, and he was fairly hopeful he was going to get picked up. And I said, what if in the state club? He said, I don't care.
Yeah.
I said, but it's going to make it hard for us because we're going to have to come. He said, you have to come and watch me play every week. I said, Joel, you know I love footy. I'll come every week. He said, no, that'd be stupid. Once a year is fine. And he was like, I think the kids like, I get away from mum and dad sometimes. So they really like it.
Yeah.
Some others who are, you know, our son was very close to us, but I think it you know, and he went to Norwood, and I still went over 15 times out of 20. No, I either drove or flew over 15 times that first year because I just love me footy, but it's hard to get
to catch up with Festa too, don't forget about that.
I did that first year, just outstanding human Festa, it really is. We're a heart of gold. He just got married, but he is the most brutal supporter.
Should have heard the sleeping at his wedding. Fucking press.
Well,
and his own, terrible.
Which was one of his daughters from his first marriage, I think, and she's in a wrestling. Good
can't
old Geordie.
Divorced.
He is just the heart of gold, seriously. But I couldn't get to his wedding. He's one of my closest friends now. But
we'll keep an eye on
our draft.
Our draft, yes, absolutely. We have a lot of input into that.
Now, if it goes awry, then I can just say, well, it was your fault. But as I said, last 2 years, 8 out of the top 10, including the number ones. We went McGrath last year, remember?
Yeah.
Because I remember you got, you're sure, because everyone's saying McCluggage, and going, nah, I'll take McGrath, speed. So cross
Dave,
the fingers
Davies
on Friday night.
Davies, Uniacki to the Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, if that's wrong, Oh, well, it's too hard. As I said, it's a struck match. This one is really difficult, I must admit. This is the hardest, I think. I honestly thought McGrath was number one standout, no doubt. And that was right.
And he was very, very good this year.
I wish you had backed him for the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it's worked out well for him, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I wish somebody would have got on.
Did you not get on it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay now.
What was he paying, like $1.10?
No. Burton was favourite.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm.
And then the money kept coming. Yeah. Burton still started favourite. It was $1.70 favourite or something. So it's just, he made a bit more. Burton was fantastic. But again, you know, people probably look, well, he's down the bottom, you know, Essendon a little bit up. Yeah, they're the smoky team, Essendon, Port Adelaide, I reckon.
Okay,
right.
So maybe get on him for the Rising Star, and then maybe get on for the Rookie of the Year, Lindsay Thomas.
I think Junk Time's own Jack Graham's probably going to be the Rookie of the Year, won't he? Because he's eligible, he's played under 10 games.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Of course,
he started $1.20.
Yeah.
Have you ever had, I don't think this will be the first time in the history of it that a premiership player will be the NAB Rising Star favourite and winner?
Yeah.
Or will Jack go, you know what, I've got my premiership medal, played 5 games, I don't need to be Rookie of the Year. Maybe we pull someone out of there like I don't know. Who could it be? Let's plonk one. Junk Time Zone.
Constable. I like
you
Constable.
You like Charlie? I like Charlie. Right.
Cameron Rayner. Come on. We'll give it to a
yeah,
Dusty.
Yeah, I can. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dusty.
Yeah. The fat kid from the country. I'll wrap it up. Thank you so much for your help, Craig. And keep an eye out for the draft order on Friday and see if it's the...
If we...
The 100% record that you shall guess.
Absolutely. So it's on Fox Footy if you check it out on Friday night. It's going to be... I'm actually looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, no, it can be cool.
And I love... You know, you just love seeing the kids in the polo looking awkward and then they can show those, you know, photos.
In 15 years' time.
You know, like Juddy.
Horrendous.
And Luke Ball running on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an iconic photo.
It is an iconic photo.
You should do that as a... You and Chambo and get someone else to photo and put it up and say, this is what's going to happen.
We'll do it with you if you're happy to run down the beach.
Yeah, good chance. I go to a beach and I get a harpoon, mate. So.
Oh, we'll see you guys. Have fun.
Cheers.
Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Go Richmond.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.